Our Father and our God, we do thank you that you have given human beings the responsibility of procreating other human beings in their own likeness and image. We are astounded when we read that Adam procreated children in his likeness, in his image. We see this physically in terms of various characteristics, the nose, the eye, the ear, the color of hair. Yet also, Father, we see other characteristics, the good as well as the bad, parts of our personality and character and lifestyle, our values, our priorities, our standards, our goals. These things also we give to our children. And even though some parents are unconscious of this, and they aren't aware of the fact that if they are not consciously seeking to mold their children in the way that they ought to go, they are unconsciously molding them in the way that they should not go. We realize there's no neutrality with parenting, Father. That you care for us, and you work with us, and you work on us, and through us, and with us. And you love us as your children, and you are concerned that we would grow and that we would mature, be no longer as children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by every mere opinion and suggestion of men, but that we would grow up into the full image of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we would manifest in our lives the values, priorities, the character qualities that Jesus manifested while he lived here on earth. And as we think about our children, we realize we have a great responsibility, so great that we cannot in and of ourselves possibly do it. We confess before you and all of heaven that as parents we fail far too often. And all we can do is ask for the covering of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse us of our errors and the filling of the Holy Spirit to enable us to overcome our weaknesses, our infirmities, and to do your will. Now, Lord, as we approach once again the subject of Christian parenting, we ask that you would stir up our hearts, that we would desire to do your will. Your word says that you work in us the willing and the doing of thy good pleasure. O Holy Spirit, come. Come as the Spirit who creates in us the desire, who gives us the power to do your will. In Christ's name, amen. In our section dealing with Christian parenting, we began our material on page 4 in our last time together, where we spoke of the importance of protecting your children from spiritual, mental, moral, and physical harm. And in terms of the very priority of the things on the list, we maintained on the basis of Scripture that protecting your child from spiritual harm is the number one priority. Such things as protecting your children from physical harm can be quite easily done. But protecting your child from the snares and delusions of the evil one, from the corruption and the temptations of a wicked world around them, is not as easy as simply giving them vitamins, making sure that they get proper sleep, and that they have proper clothing before they go out to play. In terms of protecting your children spiritually, we saw, first of all, that their spiritual condition and destiny must be your first priority. For what shall it profit your child if he or she should gain the entire world but lose their immortal soul. Secondly, you must set a good example before them. You can't simply tell them not to do something and then do it at the same time. It's very hard for a parent who's having a coughing fit and put down their cigarette and tell their kids, don't smoke, but I have seen it done. It's very hard for a child who has to mop up the vomit after the New Year's party because everyone got drunk, including the parents, and then the parent says, don't take drugs. The kids aren't stupid. If they see the parents saying one thing and doing the other, they will do the other as soon as they can get away with it. Thirdly, be faithful in disciplining your children. We talked about the necessity of discipline and not to be afraid. Fourthly, the necessity of discipling your children in the ways of the Lord. That great task described by Edith Schaefer in her book, The Family, as creating a theistic environment in which your children live and move and have their being in God. We even examined in some detail how to have proper family devotions. Devotions that will enable your children to be discipled on their level concerning the things of God. What is important are the biblical principles that underlie these instructions concerning family living. Now we come to the fifth point, which is on page 7 of your outline. Beware of ungodly influences on your children. Some people have a very laid-back attitude toward their children, in which they assume that nothing really can happen to their child or to their children. They're not really concerned about whom they play with, what neighborhood group they get in with. They're not concerned about the education that the child is receiving. They're not concerned about what television programs they watch, what books they read, what movies or dramatic presentations they entertain themselves with. They're not really all that concerned about what toys the child wants. If the child says, I want it, they get it, no matter what it is. And they just simply cannot understand the spirit-filled Christian who is deeply concerned over the molding influences that other people and that situations outside of the home can have on the child. The godly person remembers the teaching from Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Their life is not directed by the advice of people who were wicked. Blessed is the man who does not stand in the way of sinners. Now, that does not mean he's opposing them. He's in the way. No, it doesn't mean that. It means he's along the way. This is the path of wickedness. And when you try to find this person, they're not in the way of saints. They're not in the path of righteousness. They're over in the path of wickedness. Blessed is the man who does not sit in the seat of mockers. He will not take his seat with those who mock God, who blaspheme and profane God's holy name, who make fun of religion, of Christianity, of the church, and of the Bible. How happy is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the mockers. That's the negative. Now we have the positive. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. You see, the delight of someone who is truly regenerate is not going to be focused on the world or the things in the world. The righteous delight in the law of the Lord. And this is not talking about delighting in personal preference, personal opinions, as we're involved in this whole section on Christian parenting, dating, and courtship. The principles that are laid out are not the private personal opinions of Bob Morey. I don't think I would waste my time up here in a pulpit telling you personal opinions that are just simply my preference. You see, then you could take them and leave them as you want to. If it's a matter of personal opinions about parenting and discipline and discipleship, devotions, dating and courtship, if all of that is simply a matter of personal opinion, then one could say, well, I'll do as I please. I don't care what anybody says. But you see, the righteous delight in the law of the Lord. And he meditates on that law night and day, day and night. What does that mean? His life is ordered by Scripture. The word law in the Bible has about 14 different meanings, one of which in this passage means the wholeness of God's revelation. What is law? It is the revelation of the will of God for all of life. And the righteous delights in that. You know why? Because his law, his revelation, his will is not burdensome. It's not a straitjacket to the child of God. It's a matter of joy. God says, now you walk this path and you'll be blessed and you will prosper. And some person says, well, I'm not walking that way. I'm walking over here through the thorns. I'm walking over here where the wild beasts lure. I'm going to walk over here where there's a cliff that I could fall off and kill myself. And they want to go that way, which seems good to them, which is a way of death, says Proverbs. For there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is death. Well, you see, as a Christian parent, I want my relationship to my children, and I want the life of my child, the lives of my children, to be structured according to the law of God and not my own personal opinions of what I think is right and wrong. Not by family traditions, neither by family precedent. Well, my parents let me do this, or my parents never controlled the television Saturday morning. I watched any cartoon I wanted to, so my kids can watch anything they want to. My parents did it, so I'm going to do it. This is the way it's done in this community, so I'm going to do it. Do you see how different that is from the attitude of the godly? They are concerned lest their children walk in the counsel of the wicked. They are concerned lest their children stand in the way of sinners. They are concerned lest their children end up sitting in the seat of the mocker and the scorner of God. Well, what are some of the dangers we face today? Well, I think secular humanism in the state schools or the public schools would be the number one evil influence upon most children. In Psalm 14 and verse 1, we read that the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. He goes on to describe why they said there is no God, because they have done wickedly and they don't want there to be any God. If there is a God, they're going to be judged. Because they don't want to be judged, they have to get rid of one thing or the other. Either sin goes or God goes. The famous evolutionist Huxley was asked on television, since it was his grandfather who had popularized Darwin's theory of evolution in the 1850s. How was it that in English society everyone immediately leaped to this new idea of evolution without any evidence, and Darwin's own writings are hopelessly erroneous? For example, he said, human beings once had tails. And the reason we don't have tails anymore is we sat on them and wore them away. Darwin, you see, had no knowledge of genetics. Mendel was yet over in Europe working with peas, while Darwin was thinking that you could acquire characteristics picked up by your parents. So if you sat on your tail and wore it away, your children would be born without a tail. Well, any school child today knows that that's absolutely hilariously stupid. But why did English societies, Huxley was asked, leap and embrace evolution? And for once he was honest. He said, well, to tell you the truth, the reason that the English leaped to embrace evolution was because it gave them a way to escape the morality of religion. The guy went, huh? He was expecting some scientific reason. And the guy went on to say, it primarily had to do with sexual morality. Evolution gave them a way to escape. So instead of saying, well, there was great scientific evidence for the theory of it, instead he said, well, people wanted to go out and have an orgy and to be promiscuous in their sexual lifestyle. Therefore, they embraced the theory of evolution. And that is from one of the great figures of evolution, not some Christian theologian accusing them. If your child is in public school instead of Christian school, either home school or in parochial school, then you need to be concerned. You need to read the textbooks. You better be over at the PTA meetings. You better know who is being taught and what. Some of you know the fiasco down in not too far from here, where the woman in charge of physical education evidently is a lesbian. And she has the girls in the swim team be nude, and she fondles them and takes them home and teaches them this is perfectly proper, holds classes on masturbation and how to do it, things of this nature. When parents objected, the school board told them to shut up, and the woman is still teaching, even though she has certainly violated every ethical standard that any school has ever heard of. You better check your textbooks. Little statements such as, how should we deal with the elderly? Well, the Eskimos have a very practical and reasonable answer. They put grandma out on the snow, and either she freezes to death or the polar bears get her. That's the way the elderly are taken care of when they can no longer contribute to society. What are they teaching your children? People have value only in terms of their function or their utility in society. Children, infant, elderly, handicapped have no utility, therefore no worth, no value, no meaning, no significance. That's exactly what Adolf Hitler taught when they wheeled the retarded children into the gas chambers. Secular humanism is there, and as a Christian parent, if your children are in the state schools, you better know what is going on. Now, I know some of you thinking, well, when I went to school, it was marvelous. I don't see anything wrong. Or you think, well, I don't think there's any, because you're thinking of what you got when you were in school. How many of you had prayer and Bible reading when you were a child in school? How many of you had Christmas carols? Are any children in the public school allowed Christmas carols now? No. Matter of fact, I put a good cartoon in the back. The kid was to explain Thanksgiving Day, and he said, well, there were people here who came because they wanted the freedom of what you know, and they came because they wanted to worship you know who, and they wanted to be able to worship in their you know what freely. Kid couldn't mention religion, couldn't mention God, couldn't mention church. And you see the teacher sitting all smug to make sure that this child did not say people came here because they wanted to worship the Lord in the freedom of their conscience. Well, you better be concerned, parent. And if you're just sloughing it off and saying, well, that's okay. So they're taught secular humanism 5 days a week, from morning until evening. I get them to Sunday school and they have Sunday school, and that'll undo 5 days a week, 5 to 8 hours a day of pure paganism. If you happen to attend a public school which has Christian teachers, marvelous. And they're watching the curriculum, and they're Christian parents on the school board, making sure a lot of things are not being taught. Wonderful. I'd like the name and the address of that school. I have yet to find one. I think we need to write it up in the papers if we can discover such an institution. Secondly, you've got to be concerned about ungodly friends and playmates. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, the Apostle Paul said, do not be deceived. Evil company, the company you keep, if they're evil people, they will corrupt your morals. The influence of peer pressure on children is absolutely tremendous. Now, God made children to be moldable, to give the parents the opportunity to mold them in the way that they should go. But that ability to be molded is grabbed by the devil. Either in the secular humanists who want to grab them in the daycare centers, and grab them in the public school and try to teach them there are no absolutes, there are no morals, etc. Or ungodly friends and playmates. I noticed one time after one of my children had played with a certain individual that she returned with some new vocabulary and with a new attitude towards school. We try very hard with our children to make school a wonderful thing. And for the longest time, I guess we had them brainwashed, and they said school was wonderful. I'm so happy to go to school. Until they heard this individual say, right in my living room, I hate school. One of my children changed the tune and immediately repeated, I hate it too. Now, 5 minutes before it was, I love it. Now, all of a sudden, I hate it. Why? The peer pressure of other children. You have to watch with whom your children play. If they use God's name in vain, if they are too sexually curious about the opposite sex due to pornography. People don't understand. Pornography is so widespread. You have children 5 years old looking into magazines that would make Playboy blush. They turn on the cable TV and they see things. And if they see how to play baseball, they're going to go to try to play ball. You've got to watch with whom your children are playing. Thirdly, you've got to watch the games, the toys, the books, the movies, and the TV shows, which may teach your children the wrong values and the wrong priorities. This is why the Apostle Paul stated in Ephesians 4, starting in verse 17. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord. This is where Paul said, don't think it's my personal opinion here. And then you're going to walk and say, well, that's what he thinks. I don't care what he thinks. Paul said, look, I'm telling you this, and I insist on it. Because it's in the Lord Jesus Christ, by his authority. You must no longer live as the Gentiles do, as the pagans. In the futility of their thinking, they are darkened in their understanding. They are separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts, having lost all sensitivity. They have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. Now, you could write that the first page of TV Guide. You could say, what is the upcoming show? Well, the loss of all sensitivity, a giving over continually to lust. That would be the lust boat. And Dynasty, and all the soaps, one of a continual giving over to iniquity. Or again, in chapter 5 and verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is all about. You don't let your kids go to those kinds of movies, even if they're teenagers and they think it's a teen movie and they want to rush to one of these movies that do nothing but glorify lust, rebellion, evil of every description. And they want you to laugh at it. Can't go there. You have to watch the comic books and the books which are given to read. I remember as a high school student, New York City was always far ahead in terms of iniquity. And the teacher assigned a pornography novel for us to read. I read about 2 pages of this explicit sexual material, and I said, no, I'm not going to read it. She said, you have to. It is a class assignment to learn that kind of literature. I said, no. She said, I'll give you a 0 for the day. I said, you can give me a 0 for life, and I still won't read it. She said, well, you're going to the principal. I said, fine. I want to see him. She said, well, you go. And she put out a note. She was mad as a hornet. Went in to see the principal. He said, now, what's the trouble? I said, she wants me to read a pornography book, and I'm not reading it. He said, pornography? Gave it to him. He opened it up. He said, well, that is quite explicit. I said, yes, it is, and I am a Christian, and I refuse to have that garbage in my mind. He said, you won't read it? I said, no. He said, read anything then you want. I said, write it down for the teacher. He wrote down he can read anything he wants. So I read the Jack Wordson story and gave my book report on that. And at that time, I didn't believe I could dance in any form, not even square dance. Thankfully, the Lord has redeemed me so I can square dance now. But nevertheless, I said, when they said you have to dance, I said, no. And off to the principal for another trip. You have to get your children, if they're going to be in the pagan schools, that they say, no, niet, I'm not going to cooperate in this group therapy. I'm not going to read that garbage. I'm not going to do what you want me to do. Period. When it comes to the games, you don't want the kids to think money is all there is to life. When it comes to the television shows, you have to be careful lest your children think that physical beauty or athletic prowess are the most important things in life. They aren't. Again, you have to worry about the theory of evolution. In Romans 1, 18 through 25, the Apostle Paul describes where this theory came from. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, even Einstein said, the world is too mathematically precise. He said the universe is like a gigantic watch where everything is precisely where it ought to be. There has to be a God. Imagine if you were out in a jungle and your name was Iguana and you had a loincloth and you'd never seen anything about civilization and you ran across a watch that had fallen somehow but had not broken out of an airplane. You would ask, who made it? Why? Obviously, something so intricate, something working so well together, could not have sprung up off of a coconut tree. God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, such as his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but in their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Verse 25, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the created things rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Or again, records, tapes, and concerts of ungodly music. And parents, hold your ground. When there's ungodly, demonic music, where the words are satanic, where the music is ungodly and creates a wrong kind of atmosphere, you don't have to allow it in your home. Remember, I was in Missouri, and one of the parents was saying, oh, I wish he wouldn't play that music. There was their 12-year-old son, and I walked in. There were posters of Twisted Sister and posters of these nude women and everything else and demonic stars all over, and he's playing rah, rah, all this music, and the parents there saying, oh, I wish he wouldn't play it. I thought to myself, go in and just rip down the posters, take the records and the cassettes and destroy them. The kid's 12 years old, and he's tyrannizing the parents who are over there with their hands wringing them, saying, oh, I wish he wouldn't play that. Parents, you got to have tough love. There are rules you make up. If you decide, you know, one of the couples here told me they've told their daughter it's going to be 18 before you date. You don't change your mind simply because the kid whines. You as a family, looking at the biblical principles involved, have to stand your ground. Wicked posters or pictures. Pornography is in Matthew 5:28. The look of adultery is sin. Pagan idols, symbols, statues, posters, earrings, necklaces, or ornaments of any kind that have to do with idolatry. This is why in Genesis chapter 35, when Jacob returned to the place where God had met him, Bethel, the house of God, God said to Jacob, go up to Bethel and settle there and build an altar there to God who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau. Remember, Jacob had seen that ladder, the steps of a ziggurat probably. And so Jacob said to his household and to all who are with him, get rid of the foreign gods you have with you. Purify yourselves, change your clothes. Then come, let us go up to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and who has been with me wherever I have gone. So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods they had. And don't you think some of them had foreign idols that they'd had in their families for generations? They gave him all the foreign idols they had and the rings in their ears. And Jacob buried them under the oak at Shechem. Then he set out to go to Bethel. Before he met in the house of God, he said, now I'm purifying myself of all tinges of idolatry. He said, okay, women, you got to cleanse yourself. My family must be cleansed. And he didn't care what they had from granddaddy and grandpap and mummy and mooma. They had to do away with these symbols of idolatries. Now, lest the women think it meant earrings and necklaces and ornaments, period. No. These were things which had astrological signs. They were little earrings, perhaps, that had the little bull for the worship of Baal or something of that nature. They were idolatrous. They were symbols of paganism. And they had to be done away with. Or even tattoos. Did you know, parents, that the scripture says in Leviticus 19:28, you are not to put a tattoo on your flesh? Listen to the comment from the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. The specific prohibition not to print any marks upon themselves evidently has reference to the custom of tattooing common among savage tribes and in vogue among both men and women of the lower orders in Arabia, Egypt, and many other lands. It was intended to cultivate reverence for and a sense of the sacredness of the human body as God's creation, known in the Christian era as the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, years ago, there wouldn't have been any reason to mention tattoos in church, except for a few people in the Navy, and those were their unconverted days when they got drunk and woke up the next morning and had I Love Mother or Sally or something tattooed somewhere on them. And that's about the only time you ever saw it. But today, you have teenagers clamoring to have tattoos. They want a butterfly here, and they want a rose here, and they want a tattoo here and a tattoo there. It is also becoming popular to tattoo good luck symbols. That's where tattooing came from in the first place. It was a way of wearing a good luck charm, an occultic symbol, all the time to protect you. So some pagans tattooed their entire body thinking, as with the Polynesians and others, that they could not die because they had the good luck charms on them. So if it was merely on a piece of clothes, you may lose that. But if you tattoo yourself with these occultic symbols, then if you go into battle, you won't die. Well, as parents, you have a right to tell your kids, no way. You're not going to have any tattoos. Your body belongs to the Lord. And there's a principle involved, pointed out by commentators, that this is not proper for a child of God. Or symbols of rebellion or immorality. And that changes from generation to generation. Right now, it's the punk rock hair, purple hair, pink hair, green hair, pierced noses, or whatever it is. You can't allow the symbols of rebellion or immorality. You must not allow clothing which is immoral. You say, well, how do you decide that? Very simply. Do the clothes that you're wearing or that your child is wearing draw the eyes to the face or to the reproductive parts? That's very simple. Now you meet someone, and every man here knows what I'm talking about. If a woman doesn't dress correctly, you look at her bosoms, you're not looking at her in the eye. I remember we had a girl in college. We made a song about her.
We used to talk about her because she wore the tightest sweaters in town, and she was about like Dolly Parton. Well, probably no one would ever know what her face was like. No one ever looked. Any guy walking down the street was only looking at one thing. The same way with bathing suits. If you wear a bathing suit that draws your attention to the reproductive parts, it's ungodly. Your attention is to be drawn to the countenance, to the eyes. The eyes are the windows of the soul, my dear friend. You can see lust in someone's eyes. You can see anger in someone's eyes. You can see kindness in someone's eyes. That's very simple. So your teenager comes up, boy or girl, says, I want to wear this, that, or the other. And you take one look at it and you say, no. Why? It is immoral. Why? It draws attention to your reproductive parts instead of your face. Why is it wrong to glorify reproductive parts? Because in Scripture, God explicitly states there are lines to be drawn when it comes to clothing. Same way with switch clothing, transvestitism, and things of that nature. You have to be careful of clubs, societies, and fraternities which promote ungodliness. If my children end up going to, let's say, a state university, and they came back and said, oh, Daddy or Mommy, I'm trying out for the fraternity of the sorority. My teeth will fall out. Hopefully by that time, they won't even attempt to. Party time, drunkenness, carousing, immorality. You want your child to receive a pen signifying they belong to that? God have mercy. Secret organizations such as the Masons, the Odd Fellows, the Shriners, things of that nature. And lastly, sorcery, magic, witchcraft, good luck charms, casting of spells, etc. In order to protect your child, you must get in your mind once and for all that you will have no fellowship with the works of darkness. You will rather reprove them. And this is hard for a parent. Let me tell you, it's hard, particularly when you have Christians who aren't cooperating with the Word of God. Now, last night, my family was asked to go with another family to a Christmas program. And they said they had the tickets, and they took us down. And as I walked in the building, I realized it was a pagan temple. This Christian group had rented a pagan temple to have the Christmas program. And there were the symbols of paganism everywhere. And immediately my spirit wasn't too good. We sat down and then were given a program, and I saw that they were going to have all the junk Christmas music. They were going to have, yes, the sacred, but also the profane. There were going to be the Santa Claus and the snowman and all the other stuff. So the announcer gets up and says, we're not only going to be looking at the religious meaning of Christmas, but at the magic of Christmas. And my son looked at me and said, magic? He didn't like that. And they came to this section. A little fairy came out with a wand making animals come alive. And then they had all this junk music. And I looked at this, and my own son said, this is bad. It's magic. How is a parent going to protect their children when the Christians are not even cooperating, where they have someone up there doing magic? In the name of God, if you see what I mean. As a believer, you must determine that you're not going to have anything to do with those things whatsoever. Now, in the section, in the notebook under the occult, under parapsychology, you have a listing of dozens of verses which repeatedly say one thing. The people of God are not to have anything to do with sorcery, witchcraft, spiritism, the occult, in any shape, form, whatsoever. Now, Deuteronomy 18 is the classic passage when it says, when you enter the land which the Lord your God is going to give you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Don't let anyone be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, casts spells, or who is a medium or a spiritist, one who consults the dead. Now I have to preview shows on the television to see what we can watch or not. I watched Shadow Chasers last Thursday night with pencil and paper. Did anyone watch Shadow Chasers? In this one show, they did every one of the things I just mentioned. They pushed the Tibetan Book of the Dead. They pushed reincarnation. They brought in a medium to consult the dead. They had afterlife experiences. It was the most occult, anti-Christian thing I have ever seen. And I said, oh, God, put thy judgment upon it. Why? Because it says it's an abomination and it's detestable. I said, oh, God, curse it with a curse. And then Friday morning, I was flipping the television early and I got a Philadelphia station where the two stars of Shadow Chasers were talking with Merv Griffin. And as I flipped there, he says, well, it's hard doing a show that only your mother watches. And he said, the ratings of Thursday night put it number 69.
Ah, praise God.
Number 69. And I said, Lord, let thy curses roll. Teaching nothing but complete propaganda of the occult. Thus all occult practices are detestable to the Lord. Sorcery or magic of any kind whatsoever is wicked. This means that all movies, books, TV shows, or cartoons, comic books, games, and toys which magnify magic, witchcraft, sorcery, casting spells, witch doctors, Satan, demons, white magic, black magic, ESP, psychic powers, mind reading, or levitation must not be allowed in your home. And let me tell you, as one who had to take this seriously, before I can preach it to you, I have to practice it, or I can't get up and have a clear conscience. And I went through the television guide, and I've gone through the movies that I had stocked up, over 100 of them. And when you begin to say, anything which magnifies sorcery is not going to be in my house, I had to say, but that means I have to give up Star Wars. It means I have to give up the Empire, and I have to give up. If you're asking your children to give up things, you can't turn around and say, well, Daddy can watch witchcraft and sorcery, but you can't. What is your kid going to think? You old hypocrite. It's exactly what you are. This includes all superhuman powers used by or received from witches, sorcery, spirits, amulets, charms, swords, necklaces, rings, crystal balls, chants, dances, incantations, ram's heads, skulls, pits, pyramids, magical staffs, pentagrams, upside-down crosses, goat unicorns, which are referred to in the book of Daniel as a symbol for the devil, the rainbow, as in rainbow bright, cloaks, hats, brooms, sticks, stones, bones, magical plants or brews, UFOs, other dimensions, the New Age, you name it. Anything which teaches that the way to solve problems or the way to defeat enemies is to use magic or sorcery is wicked. Children should be taught that problems are solved by prayer, faith, hard work, perseverance, and creativity, using their natural God-given talents. Now, the first Ewok adventure magnified magic and sorcery. The latest one, the Ewok adventure on the planet of Endor, I was happy. We recorded it first before our children saw it. I was happy to see the witchcraft was done only by evil people. The good won the day by creativity and hard work. They didn't use magic. They didn't use spells. They defeated their enemies by fighting them. And witchcraft was entirely something evil and negative. And I had to say, hallelujah, I have an Ewok movie my kids can watch where there's no white magic and no use of sorcery to solve problems. It is shocking to see Christian parents allowing their children to watch shows or play games in which magic is used to solve problems, defeat enemies, or to make their wishes come true. Instead of praying to God and then working at the problem, children call upon the power or the force. They use incantations such as by the power of Grayskull. And you notice that with He-Man. His powers come from a bottomless pit. On one show, my teeth fell out because it said, beware of the bottomless pit here. That's where the power of Grayskull comes from. I said, Lord, have mercy. Out of the mouths of these people, a bottomless pit, and there was that old ugly skull, and here's this guy, I said, is so clearly satanic, you can't possibly escape it. We're not to have any dealings with such works of darkness. What I did the last two Saturdays, as a labor for you and a labor for me, I sat down and switched the television, all three channels, Saturday morning, checking the cartoons. This is a list I'm now going to give you of the cartoon programs Saturday morning that I saw clear examples of the occult. The gummy bears, believe it or not, as I turned that on, they were using a crystal ball. Pyramids, Isis, they even had one. Isis, where it's the Egyptian goddess. Dungeon and Dragons, He-Man, She-Ra, Panda Bears, Rainbow Bright. See, with my daughter, I had to be very careful. The rainbow is the sign of God's promise that there will never again be a flood. It is not a power. The occult has always claimed that the pyramid and the rainbow, particularly the rainbow, is a symbol of occult powers. 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo. The Smurfs. Yeah, because you see, Scooby-Doo previously unmasked the ghosts and the werewolves, etc. They were all, at the end of the show, shown to be fakes and frauds. But there's a new Scooby-Doo where the ghosts are real, where they are directed by Vincent Price as a Dracula figure, and where they follow the magic spells to fight magic. Smurfs, that's all Papa Smurf does, is use witchcraft. The Ewok cartoons, some of the most blatant, there's a witch doctor sitting there. The Care Bears, the Berenstain Bears, Thundercats, Superpowers Team, Super Friends, and then two of the shows, Bewitched and I Dream of Genie. Remember, the word genie is the Arabic word for demon. It's in the Quran. This means I dream of a demon. And in this case, it happened to be one who was pretty good looking, if I might say so myself. Now, your kids can go ahead and increase the list. Your children should be mad at the cartoon makers, not at God. My children are mad at the witches who are putting their garbage into the cartoons. They're ruining cartoons. You can barely turn on the television that sorcery is not there. It is to be feared that the present generation is being prepared to accept the false prophet and the Antichrist who will use magic to win the world's belief. We're told in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12, that when the Antichrist comes, he will sit in that temple claiming to be God, and the world will follow him. Why? Verse 9, the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan. And this work of Satan will be manifested by all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. counterfeit means they are not the real thing. If I give you a counterfeit dollar, it means it isn't the real dollar. You have gurus and bhagwans and all sorts of messiahs who use conjurer's tricks to deceive people to think that they have superhuman powers. By such things as Saturday morning cartoons, today's children are being taught to look to sorcery for the answers and not God. It's like that little boy sitting in the car, and they heard over the radio preacher said, Christ is the master of the universe. And the boy said, no, he isn't. He-Man's the master of the universe. We can laugh for a moment, but that is not funny for that poor child. They are told to look for a Superman who will use superpowers to solve the world's problems. While Jesus was a spiritual Savior who came to save us from our sins, the Antichrist will arise. He will be a spectacular Savior who will save us from our physical problems. Don't let the witches who now control television cartoons prepare your children to accept the Antichrist as the new Christ. Instead, you must give your children biblical heroes and heroines who solve their problems by prayer and hard work. And that's the difference between magic. Prayer is not magic. Now, there's a new movement. It's coming through the charismatic movement, which comes right out of the occult, which says this: prayer changes things, and if enough of you pray, the prayer will do it. That's hogwash. The one who hears the prayer may do it, but prayer will do nothing. Or they say it's faith. If you believe, it will be done because you have faith. That's a lot of hogwash. Faith in the God who can do it, but faith will do nothing. Or the latest one, imaging. In your mind, create a mental image of what you want. Money, car, girlfriend, boyfriend, someone healed. You want someone saved. They use good motives even. Image in your mind your mother being saved. And your mother will be saved because you imaged it in your mind. And now they bring them down to the altar, and they say, you confess salvation, an image in your mind, your relatives accepting Christ, and your relatives are saved right there and then because you mentally imaged them. This is coming out by Robert Schuller and other some of the charismatic leaders. It's all of the occult, thinking you can speak things into being, think things into being. It's the occult. Instead, our kids must understand it's prayer and hard work as they depend upon the power of God. Let your children speak of the sword of the Lord and of Gideon instead of He-Man's sword. Either buy or make Christian action dolls, toys, swords, and shields. Let them play with neutral toys such as cars and tanks and planes and dolls, etc. Sit down and watch Saturday morning cartoons with your children to see what is acceptable for your children. Have your children alert. John is only 4, but he'll slam that television off and come into the living room and say, Daddy, it's a bad show. There's magic. And then I'll try to find Bugs Bunny or something, the Road Runner. Thank God we still have Bugs Bunny and the Road Runner. See to it that your children do not watch cartoons or stories which feature and magnify sorcery. There are still a few cartoons left that do not exalt pagan deities or sorcery. The eternal destiny of your children may depend on your obedience to these precepts. As the Apostle Paul said, so I tell you these things, and I insist on them in the Lord, that you no longer live as the pagans do, in the futility of their own personal opinions. Instead, structure your family according to the Word of God. And don't worry if people are going to criticize you. I had my relatives, and John would come in. I'm not going to watch it. It has magic. Hoo-hoo-hoo, and they look, and they think you're stupid. What's this? You're sheltering your children. I'm going to send my child to fight the forces of the occult at 4 years of age? That's stupid. You don't listen to your relatives. You don't listen to people. You listen to the principles of God's Word. And if it says don't have anything to do with the works of darkness, then you don't have anything to do with them. Period. Or you come to the conclusion, maybe you're not really on God's side. And that's the choice you have to make. Jesus said, he that is not for me is against me. There is no neutrality with God. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we do thank you that the Scriptures help us so that we can protect our children from spiritual harm. And Lord, we realize that we have been very ignorant. We didn't know. We let our children watch Saturday morning just assuming that whatever they watched would be okay. We didn't realize that the witches were in control and that they are actively seeking to brainwash our children into believing in white magic, casting spells and good luck charms. Father, forgive us for not paying attention to the spiritual health of our children. Forgive us for not being concerned as we ought about ungodly influences in the school, neighbor kids, relatives. Lord, help us to take seriously our responsibility of parenting our children, of discipling them in the ways of God. Give us the strength to do what we know is right, and the strength to bear up under the criticism of ungodly relatives and friends. And Father, we will be sure to give you all the praise and the glory. Lord, we seek to do all that we can do to raise our children in the way that they should go, to seek the Lord while he may be found, to call upon him while he is near. And Father, our greatest desire is to see our children walking in the ways of holiness, not off in abandonment to lust and sorcery, but walking in the way of the saints, walking according to the counsel of the righteous, and sitting in the seat of the reverent. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.